cheap, are nice and fat at the moment. But the sermon is called Part of the Flock, and which I'm talking about is the flock of sheep, and where God speaks in His Word about the church or Christians as sheep, not as goats. He doesn't call us goats, He calls us sheep. So can everybody say, meh, meh. We're going to talk about sheep. It's the Desmosula mark. We're going to talk about sheep, but first, before I get to that, and I'm not going to be long, don't worry. I was afraid it's going to be east wind. It doesn't look like it's east wind, so not yet. Is it coming? Anyway, Matthew 6, verse 33, and we hear this scripture all the time. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, when we hear that scripture, or I know when I've heard that scripture, and I've even said it, is then we think, seek first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? What should I do? What shouldn't I do? What am I doing wrong? What should I change? Seek first God's kingdom. Does that mean I must stop being a doctor or an engineer or a whatever, because I must just seek God? I must whatever. What does it mean? But I think most of it in that scripture, it refers to our mindset. It refers to how we think about God's kingdom. It refers to being kingdom-minded. We must think like the King thinks. We must be kingdom-minded. So, this morning, I just want to share a few things. If we are going to be kingdom-minded, we're going to be like sheep. God says we are sheep, and sheep behave in a specific way, different to goats. So if we want to be like, seek the kingdom first, one way of looking at it is, well, okay, I must just try and be a good little sheep. Okay, now this sounds weird, but just bear with me. I'm going to look at some scriptures and references to what sheep are like. And why does God call us sheep? Because our mindset is sometimes the opposite of what a sheep is, a Christian should be like. And then we will not be kingdom-minded. So if we want to be kingdom-minded, we must start becoming sheep. And there's lots. We're going to look at those scriptures. And God speaks whenever He's, I don't know, probably 90% of the time when He talks in scripture, He talks to believers. He doesn't preach. Most of His stuff, He talks to people that actually believe in Him. Yes, His heart's always to reach the lost. But so, this morning, I'm not preaching if everybody that's here that's a Christian, if don't switch off now. You know, I shouldn't switch off this morning because I have some goat in me, if I can put it like that. And God wants to get the goat out. Okay? And He wants me to be completely sheep. And the other thing that I want to say with a scripture like this is, when we think of it, seek first the kingdom, then we think, oh, we must suffer. And the Bible is clear that as Christians we will suffer every now and then. But you know what? Most of the times when God says, this is the way to follow, this is my way, He says it with being, He's like a father. I know what I'm talking about now. It's, He wants to bless the child. Now sometimes the child needs a hiding, and he doesn't know that he's blessed. I'm not doing that yet. I'll do it when she's older. Heidi will tell me when I can do it. So the blessing there might not be nice, might not be experienced, but it's still a blessing. So when God blesses us, it doesn't mean everything is always smiley, happy. But what I'm saying is, seeking God's kingdom first will be a blessing to our lives. So sometimes, and this is this religious thing, that God wants us to be boring and suffer and whatever, you know. That's not God. That is not the God that I serve. And I think I know Him a little bit. Okay. So Matthew 25 verse 33, it says, and He will cause the sheep to stand at His right hand, but the goats at His left. You know, in Scripture, it always also refers to left as being the left, the bad side. Now, so I always thought, you know, I'm left-handed. So hopefully that's not bad. But anyway, so there is a separation in Scripture. We read it 2 weeks ago, where God says that He will divide nations into sheep nations and goat nations. So God doesn't want us to be goats. I just want to read here. It's not there. We're going to differentiate between sheep and goat this morning. behavior. There are many behavior differences between sheep and goats. Goats are naturally curious and independent, while sheep tend to be more distant and aloof. Sheep have a stronger flocking instinct and become very agitated if they are separated from the rest of the flock. So, people, I say this all the time, but if, and I'm becoming more, I'm actually starting to practice what I preach, honestly. When people come to me, you know, it's just everything is wrong with the church, or, and I don't belong to a church, and God has told me to be on my own. I don't have time for them. There's really enough to do than to spend 4 and 5 hours trying to reason with somebody like that. You're a goat. Nou, so moenie huil begin raak nie, but sheep have a stronger flocking instinct and become very agitated, separated from the rest of the flock. So if, what I'm starting to see now, well, not now only, but it just makes perfect sense now. If you don't become agitated by not being around Christians every now and then, coming to a meeting like this, going to a small group, there's some goat in you. And God doesn't want us to be goats because He wants you to be blessed. So He wants you to be a sheep. Social dominance. Due to their more aggressive behavior, goats will usually dominate sheep, especially if the goats have horns. I could have deleted that. Anyway, let me first read before I read it out loud. Oh, another telling difference, perhaps reflective of the differing nature of the two species, is that fact that while wild goats are found in abundance, sheep are entirely domesticated. They're saying goats can be found wild. Sheep are entirely domesticated, suggesting that they have a greater symbiotic relationship with mankind. In other words, sheep want to be looked after. Goats can do whatever. They're wild. All right. Where's the color now? Anyway. John 10:25-27. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. Now, God was here speaking to, I believe, Pharisees. I read it. But He's talking here. He says, hey, are you part or not? So, I don't have to say a lot there. But God want you to be part of a flock. But I'm not only talking about this, you must be part of this church or that church. There's something deeper here that's, God says, I work with relationships. It's not about you and your only revelation about me. It doesn't work like that. Yes, you must get your own revelation about God and sin, but you don't operate on your own. Okay. That's why Scripture says in the counsel of many there is wisdom. That's one thing I've learned in just working as an engineer, but it's quite a protective, yes, and also, what is it, nederige ding. Humbling thing is that sometimes when you don't know, you go and ask. So in your Christian walk with life is that if your marriage has problems, you don't try and sort it out yourself, you go and ask. If this is worrying you with that, you go and ask. That's, you know, but the Western world, and we're so far from the West, but we call ourselves West. But anyway, is that we want to sort out everything ourselves. No. And this should be a comforting message. It is a message whereby I'm saying, stop trying so hard. Go and ask somebody. That's how God made us. To be helped. Anyway, I'm getting to that. John 10:25-27. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. That's something long ago I saw on the farm is that, okay, can I tell you a little joke? My father passed away, my mother met this farmer in the Kalahari. Hopefully they're going to get married. Please say amen. Because I like this guy. Anyway, so he's got a huge farm, man. His name is, no, I can't do that. Not now. He's got a real name and a nickname. His real name is Yuri or something. But anyway, he's got a big farm. Now, where am I now? Okay. So, my mother is just so happy and I guess in love or whatever. So we ask her, oh, how big is this farm? No, I don't know. It's big. How many sheep do you think? He says, oh, probably 300. So we ask him, he has got 3,000. She's got no clue what's going on that farm. But she's so interested. Anyway, so I think it's difficult to know all the sheep when it's 3,000. But in scripture, it says, I know them. And what I saw, it was on my father-in-law's farm, is that the shepherd of that flock, it was goats then, but anyway, he knew, really, he like knew every little goat. He said, that goat has that ache there in the stomach, there on the right side. No. Okay, goats at least you can, well, I guess sheep, you can see the different spots and so on. But now if we ask ourselves, does God know you? Obviously, now we must think about this, because God knows us all. We can't hide anything from you. So why would God say to some, I know you and I don't know you? What does that mean? I think it means just a relationship with God where you talk to Him, where you share your heart with Him. I sometimes have trouble with this. I tell Heidi, but why do I have to pray about this? God knows about it anyway. That's not a relationship, Theo, wake up. My wife should say to me, should say that to me at that moment. Where God speaks, I do not know you, I want to know you. It's like, listen, I want to have a relationship with you. Tell me what you're going through. Yes, I know, but I want to understand you. I want to engage with you. So if you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with God, I want to tell you that God knows everything about you in any case, but He wants you to tell Him. He wants you to engage Him, to have a relationship with Him. Amen. Are you with me? All right. Now the next one is a bit of a challenge for me because I thought about it this week. Sheep are gentle. They're not like lions. Or hyenas. He was oppressed and Jesus was also referred to as the Lamb of God. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb. So he openeth not his mouth. Why did I get the King James here? But Jesus Christ was gentle. Now I thought about sheep are gentle. I really thought about it this week. Only the weekend, but my conduct in life. When I go out of here and I do my engineering work, am I gentle? Do people that don't know God, what do they say about me? Because I know my character and my personality, it's not the most docile, if I can call it like that. So God made me like that. I'm a bit fiery every now and then. I get, that's fine. But am I seen as a gentle person? Gentle in, oh man, I was useless when I got saved. Because I told you this also, I was just too aggressive with the gospel towards people. And Jesus wasn't like that. He was gentle. Somebody, now I'm going to bless you, Ruan. I heard about somebody that went to Ruan, and then the lady said, she picked up, but you're different. What's wrong? Where's your church? I don't know if he talked to her about church, but she picked up. There's something gentle in this man. What is it? So, I just want to be like that. And I think I'm not always like that. So, you know, if you're a business, I think it's more difficult for business people. People that are in business that work constantly. And you work with people and you employ people. I mean, it's difficult. I'm not saying it's not. It's easy. But gentle. Sheep are gentle. Let me first read this. Yeah. These scriptures show that the lamb or sheep is not aggressive. They are very docile animals. The word docile is described easily managed or handled, readily trained or taught. Even though sheep are easily managed, this does not eliminate the need of care and supervision provided by the shepherd. It's actually the punchline. But if we are full with the Holy Spirit, we will be gentle. And I am challenged by this because people out there in the world, I must be a sheep to them, not a goat. A goat is that one who jumps up and is a harikop. Ezekiel 34 verse 5. This is also a challenge. Sheep are fragile. This is a blessing. You know how we sometimes come to church? I know it, man. Even if you're a pastor, we're worse. Because we can't show any weakness. Because we should know everything. Skapies is sagte goetjies. And I remember long ago, somebody, we spoke about it, and he said, you know what? He doesn't understand that some Christians, they get saved, and then it's like, all the nonsense comes out. And like, it's just one issue after the other. You know, I think that's great. At least that person is being fragile and open and just saying what's going on in her life. Like sheep should be. And there was a scattered because there is no shepherd, and it became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Anyway, that scripture just refers to sheep are fragile little things. They get eaten. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. All throughout scripture, it is clear that sheep are fragile. I want to tell you here this morning, if you're sickling, dealing with issues, please don't hide it. Don't do that. God wants you to, okay, find the safe place where you can do it, small group, or find somebody. You don't just blurt it out to a stranger because then they might do whatever with it. But this is a challenge. I guess it's more a challenge for men than for women. But we must find a place where we can talk about the stuff that's in our lives. We sheep. Does it make sense? So if you yell, you know, and then you say, oh, but I cry so much and I've got so many issues. I want to bless you and say, praise God, at least you're opening up. I want to tell you, if there's somebody here that, and you never open up, you sit with all this stuff. Become a sheep. Become fragile before God. God can only, it's like he's a gentleman. It says in scripture, everywhere he knocks, doesn't kick down a door and says, here I am. I want to deal with your issue, your hurt and your pain. He will not do it. He won't do it. He'll never do it. Sometimes we preach like that. But he won't do it. He'll knock and say, can I come in? I want to help you there. And then when you say, yes, come in, he will come in and help you. But a fragile heart, a heart that understands that I need a God, will open up the door. The other one, like I am sometimes, is I'll sort it out myself. Okay. You must be blessed by this. Psalm 95, 6 to 8. A sheep. Okay, this is actually, there's a lot to be said about this, but I'll just read it. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. For He is our God. And we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness. Today, if you hear His voice. John 10:27. The sheep that are my own hear and are listening to my voice, and I know them and they follow me. Wow, there's a lot said there. Let's start with the first one. The sheep that are my own hear. I want to also once again bless you, you know. And I only after a long while, Pastor Fred made this comment one day. He said, you just have to listen to the sheep and then you know what God is saying. What he was saying, and I'm understanding it now. Sometimes I just enjoy having a coffee with Carol or whoever, going to somebody, and then they start talking. And because they are sheep, they are hearing God's voice, and you immediately by engaging them and having a relationship, you're understanding what God is doing. That was what Fred was saying. He said that I can sometimes pick up by just talking to Christians, just little, small, humble, 10-day-old Christians. I can hear God's voice because they are hearing it. I can see what He's doing in it. So, you know, it's blessed. It's not, it really isn't difficult for me to work out to make sermons anymore. I just talk to people. And then I see what God is saying. Okay. And now, the hearing thing. We make a big issue out of this when we just get saved. Hard to hear God, then you can find books this thick on how to hear God's voice. I would just want to bless anybody here that's a first a Christian for 2 days old. You hear His voice. Maybe not so clear. Maybe you don't know what you're hearing yet. But just relax about it. Because God says, my sheep, meaning if you've given your life to God and you've accepted and surrendered and rely on Him, you hear His voice. Relax. You know what? The more you relax, the more you'll hear. Because we always make this hearing thing so deep. Yes, I do believe one must get spirit, not must. It helps if you get spirit-filled and baptized. I do believe that. We preach that. It was evident in my life. That's why I don't want to delay people getting baptized until they've done foundation two. The moment they feel they must get baptized, they must get baptized. That's what the scripture says. Anyway, hearing God's voice. But now, okay. Now I can get to a marriage example again. There's a difference between hearing and listening. You know, this is a real life example. I'll be sitting in front of the TV watching rugby. Thank goodness the Bulls won a game again. Fine. Nou is die Stormers weer voor op die Waal. Ek weet dit. Anyway, so I will be watching the TV and Heidi is saying, Theo, I hear her. I know she's talking, but I'm not listening. So, okay, this Ali vrou mense kan nou sê amen. It just, you know, it's like that guy on the marriage counseling DVD says. He says, men, you must watch those DVDs. Men's brain have boxes. So when we deal with the rugby box, there's space between boxes also. That means they don't touch. They can't. It's just how it works. Women's brains are, he said, it's like this a cry nest. You know, those things that you... So. So it is rugby and it's praat and gister het dit gebeur, maar ek tog is verby. Nee, is nog nie verby nie, ons praat. Anyway, so just so that you understand, we can't listen. We're hearing you, but we simply can't listen. It's that we'll have to switch off the TV. That's all. It's not that we don't want to. It's just we can only do one thing at a time. At least we do it well. Okay, so the scripture says the sheep on my own, they hear and they listen and are listening to my voice. Okay, so it's important that you, if you hear God's voice, you listen to it. And then it also says, and they follow me. This is sheep follow, goats don't need to follow. Aaron John always made this comment. Hopefully I'm correct. We think a shepherd drives sheep, you know, the back. But apparently, like it should be done, is the shepherd walks in front and they just follow him. Is it right, Aaron John? Yes, in Israel. Israel sheep, they do that. Just outside the border, Syria, it's wet sheep. Now, so when this scripture talks about that, it's not like some of us understand you chase the goats and the sheep somewhere. You walk where the pasture is, the shepherd, and they follow. Okay. John 10 verse 3. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The sheep, Christians, follow and are led. What I wanted to say here is that I must be very careful in what I say. Now, it's part of our church, and I believe it. And we preach that everybody's got a calling. Everybody does have a calling and a purpose in life. But I think it just starts with following. Finding what God asked you to do in life, have created you to do in life, doesn't, like anything in life doesn't start with the award and the prize and the trophy. No, that lots of stuff happens before that. And I just want to say that That doesn't happen too often, but people, they say, yeah, I've got this big prophecy and I need to do this for God and that for God, and but you don't want to help us pack our chairs in church. You don't want to go to small group or help anyway. You're not following. Just start somewhere and follow what God is doing. It doesn't work like that. Nobody just gets a prophecy and the next day he starts preaching to millions. It doesn't work like that. Okay, but that's actually not what I wanted to say. You know, if you want to find out your will for God, God's will for your life, just start listening, hearing, listening, and then follow what he says. Oh, what I also wanted to say, you know, sometimes I must think, and I think the older a Christian you are and the more teachings and stuff you've received, this becomes a problem because I'm talking to myself. Then I'm always, a situation would come in now, needs to solve, get solved. Then you would want to solve that thing the same way you solved the last problem. But all I'm saying is just wait and listen and hear. And then say what God is doing. Because we get so full of our own wisdom. And we really make it Christian wisdom. And we must just get rid of that. We can't. I must get rid of that. I can't stop listening, hearing, and following just because I'm now 13 years a Christian or whatever. And I've been through all it. I know how it works. No, I don't need to read the word. I know how to deal with that issue. No. It doesn't. We must have a follow mentality. Are you with me? It's just that humbleness of saying, I'm still dependent on God and I'm still dependent on His voice. Yes, I've dealt with 20 issues the same way, the same caliber and bigger, but still listen. Relationship. Follow. Amen. When it's brought His own. Is that my child? Not. Okay. When He has brought His own sheep outside, He walks on before them and the sheep follow Him because they know His voice. Yeah. What I wrote down here is, sheep doesn't have this tendency. They're happy with following. How can I put it? You know, they're happy with somebody leading and saying, go. That's the way. They actually wait for that. They'll sit in that kraal until somebody leads them out there. Now, that doesn't mean we're brainwashed. Oh, you know, because many people would say we're brainwashed. But we're not. We just have a humble, submissive lifestyle where we say we are submitted and humbled before God. And I will listen to Him in my life, in my relationship, in my marriage. I'm listening to God. Amen. Follow. All right, John 10:26-28. But you do not believe and trust and rely on me because you do not belong to my fold. You are no sheep of mine. I just want to read that scripture. God says here, or Jesus says here, if you are part of my sheepfold, you trust and you rely on me. So part of a sheep, part of a Christian life, is that you don't rely and trust in your own devices and own means. There are so many examples. I think Jacob is one of them. But where this man in scripture would want to do something his way and sort it out his way. And God had to stop him and say, Jacob, listen to me. Rely on me. Trust in me. Not in your own devices, your own schemes. I come in again with this thing. You know, then you're a Christian and you've got all this wisdom and you just want to sort it out your way. No, stop sometimes and just trust and rely on God. Okay, I'm almost finished. Just see if my next scriptures make sense. I call it safe wisdom. All that I'm trying to say is, let's not get too clever and still rely on God. Still have that, even if you're 40 years. That's what I like about people like Reinhard Bonnke. Man, they preach the same simple message that Jesus Christ died on the cross and people still get saved. They haven't changed. They don't get new revelations every day. It's the same revelation. God works the same way. I like people like that. I get agitated if I need a new wisdom and a new revelation every 5 days. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the investigator? Or this present time and age? Has not God shown up the nonsense and the folly of this world's wisdom? Yet, when we are among the full grown, we do impart a high wisdom, but it is indeed not a wisdom of this present age or of this world, not the leaders and the rulers of this age who are being brought to nothing and are doomed to pass away. 1 Corinthians 3:19. For this wisdom, world's wisdom is foolishness with God, for it is written, He lays hold of the wise in their own craftiness. 2 Corinthians 1:12. For our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and supremely so toward you. I'm going to end up with, well, stop on this topic, but something that God just challenged me a little bit with is that I mustn't become too clever. I shouldn't get to a place where I think I know too much. I must still remain in the place where I hear and listen and just follow. It's so easy, man. It's actually, God wants our lives, Christian walks, to be easy, but it's sometimes when we run ahead of Him and we do plans that we think He set and that we think we should do, but we never consulted Him. We shouldn't even consult God. We just listen and do what He says. And then we're starting to act on wisdom that's from our, it's our wisdom. And God just says, you know, like all these scriptures, the wisdom of this world, all it's foolishness. All I want you to do is hear, listen, and follow. That's all. And I tell you what, with being a new father, you need wisdom. But not, okay, you must chuck out those books. Yeah, but I tell you, my child is such an angel. I really have no issues. In the beginning, it was a bit difficult. But then you must just pray. It worked. One day she had this fit, started crying, and we could do nothing. You know, then you don't have time to open a book and read. Then you just pray, and it worked. Okay, the last one, and then I'm finished. Is sheep have a shepherd? Psalm 23, verse 1 to 2. The whole of Psalm 23, I remember when I was a religious Christian. Those are the ones that you feel you must read before you sleep. Read the Bible before you sleep. Now, I've stopped doing that because I realized I should rather read in the mornings because that's when I'm awake. In evenings, if I can, I do read something. But otherwise, I just sleep. But anyway, so when I was a religious Christian or just religious, I always thought I must read something before I go to sleep. And I must pray. So I always prayed, Here, forgive us, please, all my sins. And I read Psalm 23. Because that's the easiest one. It's so nice. It's God our shepherd. Anyway, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Okay, can I ask the ladies that we hand out the communion? I forgot again almost. Is it months like? And as they are handing it out, I'm just going to recap. Sheep belong to a flock. In other words, they like relationships. They can't go without it. God knows His sheep. God wants to know you intimately. You must talk to Him. Sheep are gentle. Our conduct must be gentle. People must see us as gentle. They must see us as sheep. They must be attracted by our gentleness. Sheep are fragile. That means don't try and be Superman and Don't show any of your weaknesses. God wants your weaknesses to come out. They hear His voice. In other words, you can relax if you're a Christian. Just focus on Him. You will hear His voice. They listen and they follow. They follow what God is saying. And that in so doing, they don't rely on their own wisdom, but on God's wisdom. And then the last one is, and we can just have communion with this, is that we, whatever challenges we have or experience, we can understand that there's a shepherd. One thing I also read this morning, in the old days, I guess, well, they just had to build a sheep pen, wherever they could. And there's that whole scripture of Jesus says, I'm the way. You can only come in through me. But what the shepherd had to do is, they didn't have doors, so he had to sleep in front of that opening. He blocked. He protected. He was the one right there that said, no animals come in here. I protect every sheep. So, just to end off with that, we have that kind of a God who's a good shepherd. He calls himself the good shepherd. He's not. He also talks about he's not a hired shepherd. And when he talks, that example he uses is, because if you're hired, you get paid. And then when animals come, when the cheetah comes, that hired servant would go, run away, because he's not attached to the sheep. He's just doing it for the money. But God says, I'm the good shepherd. I don't run away. I stop the block. I block the opening in your life. So, amen. I'm going to pray. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I can just pray, but if you... thought we could maybe break into small groups, but let's leave that. Okay, I'll pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the worship that was so soft and we could experience your presence. Father, I pray, I ask, and I know it's your heart that our lives are filled with that presence. Not only here in church, and I know it doesn't work like that. We don't always have that presence. I pray that that presence will go with us. And it's not an issue of trying more. It's just of focusing on the shepherd. And Lord, this morning we want to celebrate your death on the cross, where you died for us. And so we partake of this bread. We can all partake of it, which symbolizes your body that was broken for us. And we don't have to. It also symbolizes that by your stripes we've been healed. And Father, this morning, I just stretch out my hand to everyone here, me included. But if there's anybody here that's got sickness and that needs to be healed in some area, Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you will do that to them now. If you are like that this morning, you want healing, I'm just going to ask you to lift up your hand, and that's all. You're not going to come forward, but if you want healing in any place, just lift up your hand now, and we'll pray for you. Father, I thank you. Pray for all those people. Just other people, pray with me. Lord, we pray for them. We pray by your stripes they will be healed. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that will touch them now. And it's not my prayer. It is your anointing, the anointing of the gentle Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Father, also thank you for your blood that was shed for us. And what it meant for us is that you paid the price for our sins and we are washed. Father, we want to be washed constantly and continuously by your blood. Father, wash away all the goatness, if I can call it like that. All the bokgeite uit ons uit, in Jesus' name, Here. Father, we want to be gentle. We want to hear your voice. We want to follow. And this morning we thank you that all these things are possible. We can have it, because the blood was shed for us. So we partake of this and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I have closed off, but maybe we can just bow our heads. I just want